Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to Batch After Dark with Erin and Kelsey. And today we are really excited because we have one of my personal favorites from Bachelor Nation. He is an OG from season two, from Meredith Phillips season. And this is Marcus Pierce. And we are so excited to have him. Hello, Marcus. Welcome to Batch After Dark.
Thank you guys for having me. Very, very, very flattered. I feel like this is kind of a long time coming.
100%. Yes, it is. We are so thrilled to have you with your handsome, so beautiful face. Kelsey, did I not tell you he was absolutely gorgeous?
You did, repeatedly. Yes. Well, I still wasn't ready.
I mean, as long as I've known you, Erin, we've never, like, it's weird that you've never actually seen my face. We've talked on Clubhouse and on the phone. Yeah. And yeah, it's odd because you feel like you've met that person, but this is the first time.
Right. Right. And I was just telling Kelsey that we're going to meet in person IRL in New York next month. I cannot wait
for
that.
Are.
We will be out there and we will be seeing the town together. I cannot wait to be in New York City. Oh my God. It's been years.
I'm looking forward to that. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what the plan is, but I'm definitely excited.
But Kelsey, this is the first time you're meeting Marcus, and I was so excited for you to meet him. I just have so much love in my heart for this man. He's incredible.
Aww.
Yes, I was able to interview him on Getting Cozy, and if you guys haven't heard that interview, please go check it out. We had such a soulful conversation, I think is the best way to describe it.
Such a soulful conversation.
And that is all because of you, Marcus. That's just who you are. So
no, that is. Don't listen to Erin when she says stuff like that.
Oh, you guys, you're so cute and sappy. I love it.
No, that is all Erin and what her capabilities of bringing things out of you. You never thought you'd say on this platform. She's amazing. I loved it. I didn't feel like I was violated or I said too much I shouldn't have said. I felt so comfortable talking to you about, you know, the Bachelor experience and everything else. And you just have a capability of getting information and it feels completely organic and it feels natural. And so I felt entirely comfortable sharing, probably sharing even more than you probably need to hear. But no, that is your gift. Don't give that to me at all.
Oh, thank you. Well, I always believe it takes two, honestly, but it was such a wonderful experience. I'm so glad I was able to have
you. I'm going to have to listen to that.
Definitely. Yes, yes. But I've been begging you to come on Batch After Dark because you are perfect for this show. And we're going to get to that. But before, we have to talk about the finale that happened last night. We have to get into that because that is like, you know, that's it's all over social right now. People are split in how they feel. And Marcus, we've talked a little bit about it, but we definitely want to get into that. So we'd love a male perspective. What was your take, just like in a nutshell? Tell us your feelings on the finale as a whole.
I feel like Tayshia and Caitlin completely killed it as far as the show and the production and everything else. Like, it was seamless and it was entertaining. It was fun. Even in the serious moments, it still, I don't know, it just felt like a completely different type of a show. I was actually interested in watching after the final rose instead of like knowing what the expectation was. And I don't know if that was just because the newness of two different hosts and the whole experience itself or Katie herself, I don't know. but it was just easier to watch. And yeah. I wanted to watch after the final rose. So I don't know. It was weird because I've always felt like they've made it almost two separate shows. It always seemed like it wasn't like as seamless as that. Like the show and that going on. I don't know. It seemed great. And I thought there was some drama, but I never felt like it completely got off the rails like it could have. But I enjoyed it. 3 hours, for whatever reason, went by really fast. I don't know what they did, but for whatever reason, I was invested the entire show until it was over. And I've never felt like that. There was always moments where I was like, okay, come on, can we like speed it up?
This is dragging on. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like it dragged on last night. I felt like everything that they covered, there was a need for it and there was a reason. And and it was entertaining.
I agree with you. I think it didn't seem chaotic or anything. I did think that a lot of the editing I felt was kind of cut out. Like as far as Blake kind of contemplating whether or not to propose, it kind of went from him being like terrified sitting there with Tayshia and the rings to him being in the van going like, okay, this is it, you know, and you're just kind of like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see like that mental process a little bit more, just in like unfold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, again, you never know what happens on the cutting room floor. I do feel like Blake is a good guy. I do feel like in the process it did Blake a disservice because it went from him being in this like, oh, I need to take a moment. And, you know, it seemed like he was really taking this in, which I connected to. I got it. Like, it's a big moment when you get to that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then you cut right to him walking up. And it was like he went from having the serious moment to like this like slight prank in the middle of his speech.
Yes.
And so I was kind of like confused. I was like, how did you get from like not knowing what to do and needing to take a moment on rings to like being so into it where you're like doing a little prank in the middle of your like confession of love?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Threw me off a little bit.
Same. Definitely. Kelsey, what did you think of Katie's aunt? I'm so curious to hear what you thought of Katie's aunt, how she was talking about to Blake, you're not important, you know.
I want to hear the female perspective on this because I had a conversation with my brother today and it was, interesting.
I feel a little, because you know I'm good friends with Katie, so I feel a little weird about this, but I'll just be honest. I felt like it was kind of disrespectful. And I think, you know, whenever I speak to someone, it's very important to me to lead with like kindness and respect. And so I wasn't a fan of it. I felt like it was belittling and I felt like it was really unnecessary, but that's how I felt.
Yeah, I agree. And I share your feeling of being torn because I too consider, you know, Katie a friend. I have to say, even when like after the final rose, when Caitlin and Tayshia were joking around, you know, about her aunt, like, oh, your aunt doesn't know. And she's like, yeah, please don't tell her, you know, cause I think that she knows like how she is. Right. And she just accepts that for who she is.
Right.
But I did think that she was extremely negative and I thought she was very pessimistic. And I think, and I don't know if you guys noticed this, but she actually had a big rock on her hand. So somebody married her. And I was thinking like, wow, you're really trashing marriage for being a married woman. Like it was a little shocking and kind of belittling Blake's experience as far as his parents getting divorced.
Right.
I'm sorry, but if you come from a divorced home, you do feel that feeling of like, is this going to fail and have those fears and they're founded. They're not unfounded. Like, you know, she should have been more, just affirming to me, but she was the absolute opposite and just basically saying, well, that doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, that wasn't your train wreck. Like you just watched it. But it's traumatic.
Oh, absolutely. It was traumatizing. Absolutely. It was not validating. Yeah. And then she kept saying something along the lines of like, we don't need you. And it's like, I didn't feel like Blake was showing up and being like, here I am, I'm a man. Like he wasn't pushing himself on them.
Yeah, that whole exchange.
I didn't understand why that was necessary.
Yeah.
What did you think about it all, Marcus?
Yeah, I had a tough time watching that, you know, again, because I choose to lead with kindness. And I just felt that that was just completely, it was foul, to be honest with you. To tell somebody they don't matter in this day and time, you know, I don't care how much of a feminist you are. I don't care how much of an independent woman you are and how strong you are. That's great. That's awesome. but it doesn't give you the right to treat somebody like they don't matter.
That's right.
And ultimately, you know, you have to think about, it's her niece that came on the show to get married, and you can't get married to yourself. So ultimately somebody's needed. And I think that person needed was Blake.
Absolutely.
So I just did not agree with that at all. I just felt it was foul. I felt it was just out of line. And who, I need to talk to her and figure out who this author is of this book that she's reading that has the like schematics for marriage and how it should go and what you should do when things go wrong.
Yeah.
I honestly felt like Blake's approach to what he said, we'll figure it out. That is honestly the best thing you can say because that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You do things on the fly. Things come at you when you least expect it.
Right.
And I think what he said was right. I mean, he could have gone in depth and said, you know, hey, worst case scenario, we end up in therapy, but I'm here to work on it.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
right.
He could have said something like that, but all you can do is say, hey, you know what? I love her enough to want to be there and us to work on it. And other than that, we can lean on family and friends and try to figure this thing out, but I'm here for the long haul.
I don't think there was an answer that she would have approved of, to be honest. Like, I don't think there was anything that moment. Her mom definitely redeemed the hometown for me. I thought the moment that he and her mom had was really touching and beautiful. So I was happy to see that at least. I felt like she was a much warmer person, and she, you know, she got choked up, like she got emotional. So I was really happy to see that. And to me, that was like the highlight of the hometown.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, clearly for me, just watching all of that, I felt like there was odd man trauma.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Projecting, a lot of projecting.
And I felt like they were bringing that to Blake's doorstep.
Yeah.
And it was like he was having to take on every bad thing that they've experienced with a man. And he really didn't know what to do with it. I felt bad for the guy.
Absolutely.
But you're right. You know, her mom cleaned it up in the sense of like just being real and emotional. And she had a moment because she realized like, oh my God, this is my daughter. Mm-hmm. And this is the man she loves. And he's sitting here pouring his heart out.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
And she finally connected. I just don't think the aunt had that same connection. She came in there like with the hammer. But it was good to see the mom, like, you know, close it out like that. I was like worried. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, not a good first impression.
And Blake looked worried.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
They didn't go into that at all. But she was like, how did it go? And he goes, ooh.
Yeah.
And they really never like tied that up. You know?
It definitely put more doubts. And he said that. But that proposal at the end was absolutely beautiful. I was in tears. I couldn't stop crying. I was so touched. I was so moved. For me, it was like one of the more beautiful proposals that I've seen.
Do you cry, Marcus, at these shows?
Hey, I'll cry if it gets me. You know, I'm a sensitive dude. But for whatever reason, theirs didn't get me.
Did Zach and Tayshia's?
It didn't get me. I'll say.
No, that was a good proposal. Now that one I cried.
I didn't watch theirs. I was done with it after Claire. After Claire, that whole debacle, I was like, okay, I'm out.
He's done.
But I'll say that what did get me was Katie's emotional reactions to the stuff that he was saying and she said herself. I was very connected to where she was coming from. But like I said, I had a little bit of a disconnect with Blake's sincerity. Not that I don't think he was sincere. But because of that moment with the rings, and then it cut to him having this moment, I was a little bit disconnected with like where he was at and what he was going to do. And if he really truly felt that way or he was just doing it because he felt like he had to in that moment. So I was a little bit like still trying to figure things out as he was going through what he was saying. And like I said, it's not that I don't think it was sincere. I still thought I love to see love stories. Period. So I love, you know, how it ended and all of that. But I just think that edit just really kind of like, I was trying to find my way with him in the middle of what he was saying.
I agree. I completely agree with that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Now we have to talk about, you know, what everyone has been talking about, the whole confrontation with, you know, Katie and Greg. I have to preface it by saying that I was, you know, raised by someone who gaslit me 24/7. My mom, you know, is a narcissist, and I have to be honest to say that I'm biased because, you know, that's my reality, right? So I want to put that out there, but I do also want to say that, you know, I wasn't the only one who was triggered by what went down between Katie and Greg. So I do feel that there is some merit behind that, in that it was very toxic behavior, you know, whether it was gaslighting or not. I mean, in my heart, I feel like it was, you know, but I'd love to hear what you guys thought about that. And if you thought Katie did what she should have. I mean, I have never been more proud of anybody on the entire franchise than I was of Katie standing up for herself and just, you know, being so strong. And I was extremely
proud. A lot of people thought that she was a little over the top, but you know, I get a lot of DMs about Bachelor people. I got a lot of DMs about Greg, about like his history of how he treats women. And so I don't take merit to everything, but when there gets to be so many, at some point you're like, okay, there's something to this. So I also, you know, it's pretty known in the inner circles that he's being considered for The Bachelor. So I think Katie probably, I'm not saying that Katie told me this, but I think Katie probably knew he was being considered and was like, I think the fuck not. You know what I mean? Because she wasn't about to let him get this like sympathetic edit where he can go be The Bachelor. And he, you know, she felt like he used her for his career, you know? So either way, to leave a woman crying on the ground like that for a goodbye, I feel like says a lot about a man. It doesn't really matter. I mean, the men that I'm used to are quality men and are gentlemen.
Absolutely.
And I just don't think that that says good things about him. Even if all that I saw was the clip where he left her crying on the ground, that's not a man to me. He could have had a good exit like Michael.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, take the high road, right? And also when a woman is on the ground and you're saying, I deserve more. No, that woman deserves more. I'm sorry, right? Like, that's ridiculous. So, Marcus, what did you think of the whole exchange between Katie and Greg?
I've got so much on this.
Yeah.
First,
that's why you're here.
I'll say this, and I'll just relate first the beginning of my own story and then relate it to Greg because it just makes more sense. Yeah, you know, Aaron, I told you this. I recently got out of a relationship about 9 months ago. And, you know, and I was the one that left the relationship after 3 years. And, I mean, even covering every base and doing everything that I could to, of course, walk away, but at the same time, let her know that I loved her and we both made mistakes and I hate that this is where we ended up. And even after all of that, talks, hugging each other, and when I left and just the whole thing. Even to this day, I still feel like there's things that were left unsaid and I wish there was more I would have said, or there was something that I could have done better. Always. So then relating that back to Greg and how he came on the show and he was very like, I mean, if you watch the first part of that show, he had no care in the world. He was, oh, you know, hey, I'm just glad she ended up, you know, you know, the guy she's supposed to be with, you know, just been hanging out in Jersey, laying low. And, you know, and she's like, you know, hey, so, you know, do you have any regrets? No, no. Then all of a sudden, Katie walks up there and he sees the energy and he immediately scoots away from her on the couch because he knew based on her energy and how she walked out, I need to get ready. And for me, I just saw this switch was flipped. And he went from being this guy that was like carefree and like, oh no, everything happened was supposed to happen and I have no regrets, to all of a sudden he was the battered and beaten guy again. I didn't believe it because ultimately I, loving somebody and walking away from relationship, wish I would have said things that I didn't say. So for you to watch that on TV and how that ended and how that looked, you literally walked away. You even say goodbye. There was no true explanation of why you needed to leave exactly. Right. She's on the ground. And you just walked off and then there was no closure. And you watch it on TV and you walk on national TV and go, I had no regrets. Everything that happened the way it was, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I have a huge issue with a guy that can come on TV and say, I like it exactly how it ended, with no word to clean up anything or say, you know what, I could have done this better. I was a little bit over emotional and I didn't really know how to handle it in that time, in that moment. He said that after the fact, once he realized he was, excuse my language, up shit creek with what, you know, Katie was telling him, he said that. But at the first, carefree, everything's great. I did what I was supposed to do. So I think, you know, I'm going to say this. I think the guy's a narcissist to this day. I think he is still gaslighting. Didn't believe a word that came out of his mouth after he realized the energy that was being thrown his way. He flipped the switch and then he changed back into victim Greg. Because here's my thing. This guy comes on national television. He wants everybody to believe in that moment that he found this woman that filled this space in his heart for the first time in years after his father's death. And that would be so profound for any individual to use those words and to say what he said. I'm not saying meeting his family and everything wasn't real. I'm not saying he was acting, but I am saying that this guy went on there, led us to believe that this was that profound for him. And then to come back on the show and be like, oh, I feel great. Everything's good. I'm just glad she found love. All of it just made no sense to me. I was like, man, I would have so much to say if this woman brought this much to me. And then I walked away like that on national television. Man, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have treated you like that. You brought something to my life and I couldn't handle it. Something to that effect.
I agree. What do you think about somebody that tries so many times to get on the show the way that he did? Because I think this was like his fourth time trying to get on the show. Do you feel like someone's intentions can be that pure if they've tried that many times? Or do you think that that's...
It was Greg's fourth time?
Right.
It goes back to Becca Kufrin's season.
Does that feel insincere to you or not really?
I'll say this. You know, I don't want to speak on stuff I'm not familiar with. For me, I was found, like somebody found me. I didn't go to, you know, be on the show because I, you know, was like, so I can't really speak to that and where his mind may have been. But I'll tell you this. I don't see many people running, truly running to this experience for any girl that shows up to find their love story. I mean, the guy's a good looking guy. It's very easy to do this organically in real life. But to say that I want to go on a television show and compete with 30 other dudes for one girl's heart, I mean, it sounds beautiful and wonderful, but your odds are really not that great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It kind of sounds like he's more about the competition than he truly is about finding love and finding his one love.
Yeah. I don't think his intentions were ever pure. And I also think that Katie was not his type and that he realized that, you know, that's not who he wants to be with. Like you just said, Marcus, you're not going to walk away from someone who fills a hole in your heart like that. You know, you're just not going to do it. And he also felt like he wasn't going to be chosen. And I think he wanted to break up with her before she broke up with him. I think that it was an ego thing.
And what do you call that? It's a narcissist.
Yes, that's a definition. Exactly. And he was even gaslighting her during the AFR by saying, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, turning it all around back on her and making her get all bothered. You know, that's what they do, right? They stay cool, calm, and collected while you're just like, oh my God, you know, losing your shit. And it makes you look crazy when you're not, you're just, you're triggered, right? And she was just triggered.
she was triggered, but also, again, like, I think, you know, anybody that was watching that and was offended by Katie's energy or whatever else, when you're getting information from all sides, especially through social media, especially once you get out of that, you're literally in this process where you're at one place for so long pursuing this. And then all of a sudden you get out of that and you're getting bombarded with information about this individual for who knows how long. I mean, it could have been for the whole season. We don't know. And to be able to be treated like that on national television and see it and have to watch it over again. She was so loaded up. People don't understand how loaded. And so I completely understand her energy towards him. It's not about I'm scorned and I'm still in love with the guy. It's about, no, I've heard so much stuff about this guy and I'm trying my best to not get crazy on national television and cuss him out and tell all of his dirty secrets, which she could have done, but
no, because she's a classy girl. You know, she has integrity. And I am sure a bunch of his exes probably came out of the woodwork and contacted her and was like, you're not crazy.
Oh, for sure. Of course
he has a history of this. This, you know, of course that's happening, but she can't say shit about any of that. So her hands are tied, please. So it's all going to come out now. And that's why I'm like, give the girl a break.
So imagine holding on to all of that information.
Right. And can't say anything.
Imagine holding on to all that information on national television, trying to hold it together.
She did it's impossible. As far.
So I think she did a great job with even what we know, not even compared to what we don't know she knew in that situation.
Yeah. Right. I do have to say that a podcast with Greg came out with Nick Vial on Nick Vial's podcast, Vial Files, and he completely backpedaled 1,000%. I mean, he basically was just like, I am sorry for the way I acted. Of course you are, because now you're getting, you know, shit from people saying you're such an ass. You didn't have any regrets. You didn't want to change what you did. You know, you wouldn't have gone back and changed what you did. The whole episode was him backpedaling. It was so hard to listen to because I was like, you are literally just saying everything that we want you to say. It was awful.
Well, he's still on the Bachelor campaign. You know, he's in the top two.
You know why? Because the victim's not there. The victim is Katie. So now she's not there. So he doesn't have to do this whole back and forth with her. So now he can just be victim. And I'm so sorry. I made a mistake.
Trying to damage control.
I mean, honestly, like I said, I just think the guy is a piece of you know what.
If he becomes the lead, I refuse to watch a season where a man gaslights 30 women. That's just not happening. I will literally I'm not even kidding. I will literally boycott his season. I pray to God that does not happen, because if it does, this franchise is going down.
I was shocked that he's even
That will never happen. There are so many more deserving men, so many more, much more amazing deserving men than that person. Anyway, we can move on, but I feel like we needed to touch on it.
I mean, I'll say this. What Katie knows, trust me, I promise you, she went back to the producers and said, how this guy end up on my season with all of this information that I'm getting.
Right, yeah.
And trust me, ABC wants no part of even accusations of somebody being abusive, being anything as the lead on their show. Trust me, he will not be any part of the Bachelor.
I hope so. I hope you're right.
Marcus, you know this show is called Batch After Dark. And so we're going to ask you a few questions because we want to get to know you on a little sexier level.
All right.
And you think you can handle it? I think you can.
Do you need a safe word, Marcus?
I might take y'all places y'all never expected. So watch out.
Oh, man. Famous last words. Okay. No safe word.
Guess what, Marcus, honey? They always say they don't want a safe word on the show. And then they always use a safe word. They go, never mind.
Okay. Let's see. I want to play. Let's go.
Okay. Normally, I kind of, you know, ease them in. But I'm not doing that with you, Marcus. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that with you.
Oh, good.
You're a very sexual person. I can appreciate that. Being sex positive myself. And Kelsey as well. When was the last time you had sex?
Great question. Yesterday.
Wow. Okay. No, actually, it was 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Oh, good answer. Good answer. All right. Pick one. Do you prefer to dominate or be dominated in bed?
Dominate.
Okay.
That's Kelsey's favorite.
Thanks, Aaron. Rate yourself in bed like from that. A 1 to 10.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Rate myself on a scale of 1 to 10.
We're not messing around here.
I'll say this.
You don't have to be humble.
Based on my imagination and my creativity and where it comes from.
Oh.
And I have a tattoo that says passion on my arm. Have to rate myself. I don't want to be a complete ass. I would say a 9.
Ooh, I love it.
I had a feeling that you were going to say 9 or 10. I just did.
Yeah, confidence.
And that's only because I pay attention, I listen, and this is all before we even get to the bedroom. Part of getting to know you, that means how you carry yourself, the things you say in conversation, you know, how you, just basically move about a room, the way you talk to people. Like, I'm listening and paying attention to stories, everything. And I bring all of that into the bedroom and I kind of use it against you.
You mean for you?
Or against.
Exactly. Or against. Jeez.
I told you he's a total package, Kelsey. I told you that. Okay. So where's the wildest place you have had sex?
I mean, that's tough because there's been a lot of places, so I don't know what you guys might consider wild.
It's all relative, but, you know, just you can name more than one.
I'll say when the stakes were really high, it was in a movie theater.
A movie theater. Oh, my God. I love
can
that.
We, can we know
fantasy.
More? Were there other people there?
Yeah.
It was in the back. Yeah. Was it in the back?
Yeah, it was about second to the back row of the movie theater.
Okay, wait.
Oh my.
I have a follow-up question. So was it in the seats that reclined flat?
No, this was old school. This is late 90s.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, wow. Because now it's so easy to do that.
This was like just when stadium seating became a thing.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So there were no like rocking seats. There were no laying back seats.
Are we allowed to know the position? Was she like sitting on you kind of like reverse cowgirl?
Yes.
Because that's what I was envisioning.
Wow. Did anybody say anything?
No.
Hold on. Did you literally have...
I love this story. I love that I got the position right.
Right?
You got the
position. Did you literally have people right next to you, Marcus?
No.
Okay.
And nobody was there. And they were kind of scattered like to the sides. So, yeah.
Do you remember the movie you were watching? Sort of watching.
I do, actually. The funny thing is I can't remember the movie we actually went there to watch. But we snuck into this movie, and it was Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that wholesome movie, Forrest Gump. Wow, that is amazing.
Really wasn't focused on the movies. I'd already seen it. So
whose idea was it?
Who started that? Yeah, who started
me? Yeah, I was clearly up to no good.
I mean, how do you have that conversation? You want to sit on me?
I mean, it wasn't, I didn't have to say much. It was, it was more of a guiding. It was more of a guiding.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is so hot. Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
That is one of my fantasies.
Is it?
Yeah, definitely. We go see a movie probably twice a week. Like, we're always in the theater.
It didn't stop at the movie theater, though.
Okay.
Oh.
We had sex there. Then we went out to the car and then had sex in the parking lot of the car.
Nice.
Dang. Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness.
That was quite the date.
Okay.
That was a double feature.
Well, actually, a triple feature because it started in the first movie. So it was like more like a triple feature.
No kidding.
Triple feature. Triple. Part 1, 2, and 3, starring Marcus.
Well, if you enjoyed that sexy little snack from Marcus, please come back for the whole meal next week. Trust us, it's delicious. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.